Ronald Reagan once said the worst words you could ever hear are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." The reason for saying that was the unreliability of the government. Our federal government pledges support for causes that are certainly just, only to pull the plug on that promise of support for political reasons, even prejudices. Yet when it comes to funding for organizations that serve people with needs, there's no bigger tap to turn than the federal government. Now these organizations are facing a loss of much-needed federal grant money if the state they're in doesn't follow what the Trump administration wants when it comes to immigration. Here to discuss what this means for these organizations is the legal director with the New Jersey Coalition to End Domestic Violence, Denise Higgins. How are you today, Denise?
Great. How are you, Chris? Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's important to talk about this because with everything just unfolding, such rapid fire and distractions and being thrown off to the side so things like this aren't noticed by as many people as it should be noticed by, I want to, you know, we can do our part to put the focus on the proper priorities. NJCEDV.org is the website for New Jersey Coalition to End Domestic Violence. This all revolves around the Crime Victims Fund. And there's a lawsuit right now for actions that the Trump administration is trying to take, joined by 20 states, including New Jersey. What is the Trump administration trying to do with the funds from the Crime Victims Fund?
Well, thanks so much. So basically, they're trying to tie use of these funds to immigration status for survivors. Specifically for our programs, it would be for survivors of domestic violence that they serve. I'm glad you started with Reagan because this was, in fact, a program enacted by Ronald Reagan over 40 years ago, and it's been used to support all survivors of crime, all victims of crime, and that was the intent. So this would change that in the fact that programs and advocates working with survivors of crime would have to parse out different levels of immigration status for, you know, whatever that means. You know, it's kind of unclear. That's another kind of problem with what's coming out from the administration. But for us specifically, it would put survivors in a position of having to prove their immigration status, which is often difficult because their abusers withhold that paperwork from them. It would put our advocates in a position of having to understand and, you know, parse out immigration law, which again is not part of their roles at all. And it would really have a chilling effect on all survivors coming forward, because part of the hallmarks of this program is that we don't ask personally invasive questions. We just give them a safe harbor to kind of get away and get out of those relationships. So that's a long answer, but it's such a multifaceted problem. And again, it's going to affect all services and all levels of survivor in our state. So we are really concerned with it.
And I use the term grant as a generic word because depending from state to state, the amount of money that a state receives for the Crime Victims Fund varies. California, I believe, gets the most, around $48 million in last fiscal year. I believe New Jersey was between $15 and $20 million. So we're not talking small change here. And with the work that organizations like the New Jersey Coalition to End Domestic Violence does, the more funding they have, the more services they can maintain and even expand. I mean, I know one of the biggest challenges for domestic violence organizations is housing for victims. And that's one of the most limited parts because you want to take the immediate needs and hopefully progress to a longer range program, at least, with transitional housing. And a lack of funds is going to put programs like that, I fear, on the chopping block.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. Programs are already having to look to where they have to pull back services and what's the most emergent. Right. It might be those long-term programs, and it might be just that we have to triage services because of the funding that we're able to get. But you also mentioned grants. I just want to say really briefly, too, for people that may not know, the funding for this specific program comes from fines and fees associated with criminal acts. So right. This isn't tax dollar funding that we're talking about. This is directly related to violent crimes, and it's supposed to go right back to those victims.
Yes, or exactly. If someone is complaining that this is money out of a strained federal budget, well, it's not even touching the federal budget. Some might even make the, you know, based upon the facts in there, it might be a money grab. We've seen the state do that in a variety of ways, but that's another conversation for another time. But it is kind of ironic, Denise, that victims of crimes now have to fear a government that they, up until now, at least believed would be an asset, a savior for them. It's got to be confusing, especially for anyone, any crime victim who's traumatized. You kind of want to have as much stability in your life as possible. And to be told, in this case, there's no other way to put it, that whether or not you're determined to be a victim of crime or violence is going to depend on your immigration status. That doesn't sound like a system of justice to me.
Absolutely. And one of the hallmarks of services for victims of crime, and specifically for victims of domestic violence, is that we don't have to predicate services based on any information that the survivor is willing to share. So, you know, we want survivors to be able to take control over their information and share it when they're comfortable. This is situations where they've been under someone else's control for so long that we don't want to be part of that problem. Like, programs shouldn't be demanding information of survivors, because that's exactly what, you know, we want them to be able to take back that power. And we don't want to be part of that system, or that they already have distrust of systems and they have distrust of their partners. We don't want to be complicit in that as well, demanding that information. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
Talking with Denise Higgins, who is legal director with the New Jersey Coalition to End Domestic Violence, njcedv.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I get the government wants to deport criminal, non-documented immigrants, none of which are people in these programs, maybe with an absolute rare exception. But if that's the goal, then why cause immigrants to go into hiding that you at least want to ask questions to, if you want to be fair about things? And if there's a criminal record, I think we can all agree that you should go through the criminal justice process, and found guilty, you're deported. But the act of entering the country illegally, on the federal law books, if my understanding is right, is a misdemeanor. A first offense DUI is a more serious crime than entering the country without documentation, as far as federal law is concerned.
Yeah, exactly. And there's federal law that already mandates that these services be provided to victims. So what's being asked under this Victim of Crime Act specifically would require programs and require agencies to violate existing federal laws. One of those federal laws, right, is through immigration itself, is the U visa program, which would allow witnesses and victims of crime to come forward to do exactly what you're saying, is to go after those violent criminals. So now, if we're making it impossible for the victims or the witnesses of those violent crimes to come forward, we're not going to get to those violent criminals either.
You're punishing the victims and putting up a wall between getting the actual criminals who are the perpetrators of the violence against these victims.
Exactly.
Which makes no sense to any rational mind, which is why the government's probably going all in on this. And for you listening, I want to give you some U.S. Constitution homework, because this is what the lawsuit against this idea says. It's a violation of the separation of powers. I think a lot of us understand that part. Here's where you do some learning, some self-educating. The Spending Clause and the Administrative Procedure Act. Yeah, so it's and Denise, there's precedent against an action like this taking place, because wasn't it earlier this year that the Trump administration tried the same exact thing with the violence against women funding, and a judge put the stop on that.
Yeah, exactly. It is playing out, you know, it's taking time, but the way these things are playing out in the courts are, you know, the law is prevailing. And again, like I said, this is in direct violation, and just like you said, in other federal legislation, the Family Violence Services and Prevention Act, for example, for domestic violence programs require that we serve all. The Violence Against Women Act requires that we serve all. The Victims of Crime Act itself was designed to support marginalized and unrepresented communities. So you're right. It has played out already in the courts for VAWA, and I anticipate it will play out the same. But in the meantime, what is this doing to put fear in the community, and how many survivors are not going to come forward because of these headlines? You know, and that's what we're really fearful of.
Well, for anyone who's listening that is in need of the services of an organization like New Jersey Coalition and Domestic Violence, or any of the community organizations who fall under the auspices of receiving funds from the Crime Victims Fund, stay in the light and stay connected with these organizations. Here's what's going to happen next is a court, I believe in mid-September, is going to hear this multi-state suit. And with, as I said, the precedent that happened earlier this year, that case was heard in Rhode Island, it certainly doesn't leave much doubt into how this case and this legal action will be adjudicated. So stay connected with these organizations. They're there to help you. And if you are a person who doesn't need the help but believes in what an organization does, support them in any way you can, either financially with your volunteer time, any way like that. It's one of the ways we can be part of a resistance to acts like this happening that are making victims of crimes victim again. And again, we're supposed to be a nation of justice, but that does not sound like living up to our heritage in any way, shape, or form. Learn more about the New Jersey Coalition to End Domestic Violence at their website, njcedv.org. We have a link at our homepage as well. She is their legal director, Denise Higgins. Denise, thank you so much for being part of the education process and the awareness process of what is truly a dangerous act in so many ways. Thank you for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing light to this. This is such an important work. And yes, we look forward to connecting with anyone who's looking either for services, looking to volunteer, or certainly willing to make a financial donation to one of our programs. It would be wonderful. So thank you.